Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang, the Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times. She joins us every week with an update and analysis of the latest from the territory. Claire, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rachel. Good to speak to you again.
Always good to have you with us, Claire. So, Claire, let's start off with a COVID-19 update in Hong Kong, because after the COVID-19 outbreak in the city started to slowly stabilize in the past month, daily infections have again climbed to more than 100 earlier this week. Let's talk about what's causing the resurgence of the virus and how the government is going to curb the transmission chains across the territory.
Well, Rachel, daily infections hit a one-month high, crossing the 100 threshold on Monday, and numbers have been unstable, but mainly over 50 per day. Deaths have been increasing, almost one a day. The biggest cluster right now, which is the main problem for authorities, is Yau Tsim Mong area. That is a short form for Yau Ma Tei, Tsim Sha Tsui, and Mong Kok. And bordering this area is Sham Shui Po, which is getting very hipster, but these are all very populated areas. Sham Shui Po, for example, is one of the poorest districts in Hong Kong. So housing conditions are far from ideal in these areas, and I'm putting it lightly. So it's always very packed living conditions, lots of old buildings. So what started was based on what the health officials found out, and they said was that some of the construction site workers, because they're building tunnels here, live in these areas. And, about half of the infected patients in Yau Tsim Mong are not known to have sources. So as it is, the government can order residents in a building to go for either a voluntary or a mandatory test for COVID. Now what the government has done is to expand it aggressively, extend mandatory testing aggressively. So they've listed 70 buildings at least in Yau Tsim Mong area. They've got they've designated a core zone. You may or may not have cases. Everybody in these buildings within the core zone will have to go for testing. And these buildings that they've identified are usually, have poor hygiene or do not have property management. So people living there will have to get tested. Buildings where basically sewage pipe samples show traces of the virus will also come under the list. Residents will also have to be tested. And then you have existing measures, which they are now extending. Mm-hmm. They've just extended for another week until next Wednesday. So you have things like no dining in after 6 p.m., public gatherings kept at 2, no bars, gyms, cinemas, things like that. So civil servants are supposed to work from home as well. So they've got a whole range of measures. So that's what they're hoping to help curb the transmission. Unfortunately, just today, found out that a COVID patient had delayed treatment because the community testing is not accurate for this person. So, then comes the question of whether, how accurate the community testing is, and, whether it can be improved upon. Because if you're going to get all these people to go for tests, but then it comes back inaccurate, then it doesn't quite make sense as well, right?
So why then have officials U-turned on an earlier decision to ban the annual Lunar New Year flower markets when infections are climbing back into triple figures?
Because they think that they can control it better, that it's better to have specified areas where I can have crowd control management and test the stall holders and clean the markets, as opposed to letting people all gather in specific areas. So Chinese New Year is a big thing here. And in early January, the government said that the fairs would be cancelled. These are like the flower markets, like where you get your flowers, your Chinese New Year decorations and things like that, goodies, right? So this upset, people. Basically, and the farmers who supply the goods, obviously. Then 10 days later, they did a U-turn. They said that, the fairs will go on as usual, but then it will be on a smaller scale, stalls will be halved. They will be smaller. There will be crowd control management. So this came after the government had discussions with angry farmers and, you know, the associations. So I believe that it will be better to have the fairs so that people don't gather in just one area. Mm. Because if you don't have the flower markets, where do people go? We will just go to Mong Kok Flower Market and everybody will be there and you don't test the people there. So they feel like the government basically feels that, you know, it's better. For contact tracing as well.
Yeah, and there was also an outcry in ethnic minority groups, wasn't there? And that was sparked by a health official's suggestion that their behaviour might be linked to the escalating COVID-19 outbreak. What were the comments made, Claire?
Well, in the first 2 weeks of January, Rachel, there were about 600 cases, of which a quarter are South Asians, Nepalese and Indians were singled out. So Mr. Raymond Ho, head of the Centre for Health Protection's Health Promotion Branch, had suggested that the city's ethnic minorities were at a higher risk of spreading the virus at a daily briefing that they gave, right? And then Chief Executive Carrie Lam had to step in to correct this because she was asked. So she said that the spread of COVID has nothing to do with ethnicity, but that environmental factors did make certain groups more likely to contract the virus. She's saying that social behaviors, living conditions, workplace hygiene are factors, you know, that make people more vulnerable. So this has angered the Nepalese community, who are appalled and have slammed the government remarks saying that, you know, rent is sky high here, which is why they end up having to live in a cramped condition in the first place.
So is there a better approach then to tackling growing clusters in these age blocks?
Well, I think the problem for Hong Kong is compounded. This is the part where I remind everyone of Singapore's worker dormitories last year, you know. It's unfortunately a recipe for disaster. What do I mean? When you have a lot of people living in an area, in a unit, for example, and in Hong Kong's case, first of all, rent is high, people live in small units. Sometimes you've got many people, like many families or, you know, living in one unit. And that's what's happening, you know, in Yau Tsim Mong. So what Singapore had going for it is that the dorms are at least cleaner and newer. Now, buildings in Hong Kong are really old. And that's why now, you know, you've got health experts and you've got health officials going to take samples from looking at the sewage pipe samples because they are leaking. So they were talking that, they were saying that, you know, this caused a transmission within the building, you know. So the sanitation leaves much room for improvement. So right now, is there a better approach? There are too many of these, and when it happens, it will spread like wildfire, right? So I guess the only silver lining is the fact that vaccines are available, and we are hoping that they will roll this out soon.
So tell us more about the vaccine plans in Hong Kong.
So the advisory panel to the government has recommended that the BioNTech vaccine be approved for emergency use. And, you know, local media has said that the health secretary is likely to approve it soon, next week or something. And, you know, the vaccines are expected to arrive in Hong Kong late next month, hopefully earlier. So the government right now is doing preparation work and it's full steam so that when the vaccine arrives, everybody can, you know, they can start rolling out the program.
We're speaking with Claire Huang, a Straits Times correspondent for Hong Kong. And Claire, let's next up, authorities earlier this week said that a top British barrister has pulled out of leading a team prosecuting a group of prominent Hong Kong descendants. Wasn't David Perry announced just last week as lead prosecutor in the upcoming trial of 9 well-known activists, including media tycoon Jimmy Lai and former lawmaker Martin Lee? What happened?
Well, Rachel, Mr. Perry came under fire from various people, including the British Foreign Minister, Dominic Raab, who said he couldn't understand how anyone in good conscience could take up such a case, adding that people would regard this move by Mr. Perry as pretty mercenary. So the Hong Kong's Department of Justice yesterday said that Mr. Perry is no longer involved in the prosecution because he expressed concerns about such pressures and the exemption of quarantine. So he indicated that the trial should proceed without him. So the Secretary for Justice, Theresa Ching, then lashed out at, you know, Mr. Raab and all the critics, basically saying that Mr. Raab had made disgraceful comments regarding the decision of a top UK barrister because this is sort of sliming him.
Claire, and just quickly while we've got you, one last question. I just wanted to get an update because unemployment has peaked in Hong Kong, hasn't it? What's the latest?
Well, Hong Kong's jobless rate hit a 16-year high of 6.6% in December, and Financial Secretary Paul Chan earlier warned that there would be more layoffs and business closures after the Lunar New Year holiday, which does not bode well for the city that is already in recessionary economy is in recession. So he said that the pandemic is affecting a key time of the year for many industries, right? And even though it's expected to return to growth this year, the current situation remains, what he said, extremely worrying. So we will have to see what he has in store for Hong Kong in the budget announcement next month.
Well, we'll stay tuned for that, Claire, and we look forward to your updates on Hong Kong's budget next month. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Claire. We've been speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.